This is All Things Considered on KNKX. I'm Ed Ronco. Last April, 26 utility poles fell over in Tukwila. They crushed a car, and two people went to the hospital. An investigation found that the collapse happened because some of the poles were decaying inside. Reporter David Gutman has the story in today's Seattle Times. He joins me in studio now to talk about it. Hi, David.
Hey, how are you?
Good, thanks. This investigation follows the collapse of these utility poles back in April. It was in Tukwila. David, tell us a little more about how this happened.
There was kind of a storm, and there were high winds. The investigation, you know, found that the highest measured wind at nearby Boeing Field was 29 miles per hour, but looking at kind of other atmospheric conditions, they think it was kind of a microburst event and could have had gusts up to 50 miles per hour potentially. But these power poles should have been strong enough to withstand that type of wind. What they found was that a series of six poles near kind of the center were rotten or decaying inside, and specifically the two that fell first were rotten. They rate these power poles, and these two poles kind of were only 33% and 57% as strong as they once were when they were installed. And so these two poles fell and put a lot of pressure and torque on the poles that they were wired to, the ones next to them, and then the whole string kind of fell down like a row of dominoes going both directions from these two central poles.
Did they give any indication in the report what caused the poles to rot?
We're not exactly sure. What they said is, you know, rot can be caused by a lot of things. Three of these six poles at the center did have damage from beetles.
So the poles are owned by Seattle City Light. What is the agency going to do now that it has this report in hand?
So the agency aims to inspect each of its poles every 10 years. The agency has somewhere around 91,000 utility poles up around the region. And then, you know, when it checks them, it sends an inspector around who looks at the pole, knocks it with a hammer to kind of see if it sounds hollow. It might treat it with anti-insecticide. They also rate it on a scale of 1 to 5. 5 means, you know, this is a really good pole, doesn't need anything. 1 means we need to replace this immediately. And so what Seattle City Light wants to do, it says there's about 6,000 poles around the area spread out evenly that are rated 1, 2, or 3, and they want to replace those quicker than they had been moving previously.
So they have sort of a triage system.
They do. You know, 6,000 poles is a lot of poles to replace. They're not all going to be replaced in a month. It's probably going to take a year to a few years. You know, in the last, I think, 8 or 9 years, they've replaced about 11,000 poles. So it's not cheap. It's going to cost tens of millions of dollars. They say on average, each pole costs $13,000. They say they won't raise rates, but other kind of capital improvement projects will have to be either delayed or put off.
So they have a system for figuring out which poles need to be replaced. But the investigator, the outside investigator who was hired, found some flaws in the system. And you write in your story that he kind of dinged Seattle City Light for that.
You know, the faulty poles in this incident were all rated 2, which is the second lowest rating and means, you know, they're supposed to be replaced within a practical time frame. But what the investigator said was, you never say what that time frame is. It's really not helpful at all to say that. You need to be more specific about when these poles need to be replaced. And the other thing he said is that there's a broad range in there. A pole rated 2 might be 75% as strong as it was when it was installed, or it might be only 25%. And so even just giving this rating isn't that helpful. And that these ratings need to be more specific and kind of more guided.
There was dramatic video of the pole collapse from some closed circuit cameras that were in the region. These poles hit a car and injured two people. Do you get the sense in your reporting that such a dramatic event caught on video that had human consequences played a role in the agency's response?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. The Seattle City Light is quite clear that they are now revamping how they rate these poles. They are moving faster than they had been to expedite replacing these 6,000 lowest rated poles throughout the city. And I mean, really, it seems, you know, it's remarkably lucky that nothing worse happened from this incident. You know, 26 60-foot tall, you know, logs of timber fell over on a normally pretty crowded street. They were all carrying live electrical wires. It's, I don't know if you want to say miraculous, but it's almost miraculous that things weren't worse.
David Gutman, thank you for your time.
Thanks for having me.
Seattle Times reporter David Gutman, who covered a report on the cause of a massive power pole collapse in Tukwila. Now, as we heard David say, Seattle City Light plans to replace some 6,000 poles. Let's hear now from City Light General Manager and CEO Deborah Smith. We spoke on the phone just a little earlier about the steps they're taking to start that process.
One we can look at, and we are looking at the poles that have the lowest remaining life, and those are our priority. Two, we are looking at, there are 360 poles that are part of that 6,000 that were rated P3 or lower that were installed in the 91 to 95 period. And we have now learned could, some of them likely do have, a residual beetle infestation. We know that the two poles that went down first along East Marginal Way South had that beetle infestation. So we'll be prioritizing the 360, we'll be prioritizing the poles with the lowest remaining life, and then we'll be going in and targeting areas, and we will be taking care of other of the 6,000 poles in the same time frame in order to be the least disruptive for our customer owners and also to manage the efficiency and effectiveness of the process.
An acute infrastructure failure like this is, mm-hmm. you know, certainly, I would imagine, the nightmare of somebody who's in a job like yours. Does it have ripple effects in terms of looking at other infrastructure or the systems by which you or even other city departments are thinking about the infrastructure they're tasked with maintaining?
Well, that's a really good question, and no one's asked me that before. It has ripple effects for me anyway, in the sense that what it does is it reinforces, I think, something that we're trying to do anyway. So, you know, we're a community-owned utility. So I've been working since I've been here. It's been almost a year. I've been working with employees and really trying to reengage all of us in thinking about our customers as our customer owners who pay our salary, who we are responsible to. And certainly in my industry today, in the electric or in the energy industry today, we are undergoing enormous change because customers who have mostly been kind of just purchasers of services that they need now have really strong opinions about what they want that to look like. And so we are an industry that is learning that we have to be extremely responsive to our customer owners, and we need to provide them with the products and services they want in the ways they want. And we know that the things that are most important to customers are safety and reliability. So here I am with infrastructure where I have an opportunity to make changes in ways that will improve both. And so in some ways, it's really, it aligns well with what we're trying to do, which is to really engage in being a utility that puts customer needs first and that does our work safely. It does mean that we really have to look at how we are spending ratepayer or customer owner dollars, and to make sure that every dollar we spend has something in it for the customer, because we have to reprioritize in order to take care of this critical need.
You're saying it's bigger than just fixing this particular problem.
I'm not saying that there are other problems. I think that this is a problem that we need to resolve, but we are in this time of huge transformation in the industry. We are at a time where electrification is important and our grid is important, and affordability in Seattle has never been more critical. So there's a lot of things that we need to balance, and we need to look at everything we do through our customers' eyes.
Deborah Smith, thank you so much for your time.
Okay, thank you.